mercy and peace from God our Father, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text comes from Luke chapter 13, verse 34. O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often I would have gathered your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. You would not. We pray. Lord God, you know our hearts and our minds, you know our unwillingness to be gathered under your wings, our unwillingness to listen to your word, our unwillingness to be convicted by your truth, to admit our need. We pray that you would meet us today and open those hard hearts and minds that we might know your loving compassion and your commitment towards each one of us. That we are safe in you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's a place where you feel the most safe. You think of a time when you felt the most safe, at peace? Is it at home? Was it at the vacation? Is it around good friends? Is it when you're around someone you knew loved you? So maybe it didn't necessarily matter where you were. It just mattered who was with you. This past week, as some of you know, I was in Phoenix at a pastor's conference. And it's kind of nice that they do it in Phoenix every year, right? In cold weather, it's nice to get away to something warmer. But you know what's really nice? When it feels really hot and the sun's beating down on you, it's nice to be able to take refuge in the shade, isn't it? And it would have been smart, probably, for me, you know, they even offered sunscreen there. It would have been smart for me to just put that on, to take refuge from the sun, you know. But I was unwilling to do so. And now I got burned. But it just seems so ridiculous, because I even know if I put it on, I'll be safe. Well, yet, I was unwilling. We see here the heart of Jesus in our gospel reading, don't we? You think about those times in your life when you feel the most safe, probably around the people that are the most compassionate towards you, right? The ones you know love you. And we see here the glory of the compassion of Jesus here. And just why he was committed to doing what he did. You think about something you're committed to or strive to be committed to. What does it take for you to stop? What would it take to break your will? What would it take for you to give in and quit? Probably if you ask someone, what would it be in your life that you would be committed to, and no matter what, you would keep going, be something incredibly important, would it not? Moreover, it would probably be someone incredibly important. For most of us, we'd probably say our family, no matter what, even if I was under the threat of death, I would still protect them. Yet, with Jesus, we see an even greater display of compassion. These Pharisees who come to him, and while we don't know why they're telling him this, but most likely probably wasn't, hey, we're trying to help you out here. They're probably like trying to get rid of them, as they usually were. They go and tell him that someone's trying to kill him, King Herod, who, ironically enough, another King Herod tried to kill Jesus when he was born, right? If you remember that, didn't work. What does Jesus happen? Does he say, oh, wow, oh, someone's trying to kill me, you're right. Oh, thanks for the warning, I better stop because, yeah, what I was thinking about, the purpose for my life, it really wasn't worth, it's not worth losing my life over. So thanks for the heads up. I'm going to leave now and just go retire somewhere in the Caribbean. Is that what he says? See, from the start, Jesus knew how the great and enormous worth of his mission and his purpose. He even knew the cost that he would have to pay in order for it to be accomplished, right? This Herod probably thought, oh, I'm plotting in secret. He doesn't know. Just like John the Baptist, I got him unawares and put him in prison, beheaded him, no problem. Now he's not talking anymore. I'll do the same to this Jesus, this other so-called prophet of God. But Jesus knew from the beginning he was born. From the beginning of time. What his mission would be. What wicked, sinful men would do to him. Yet he still went. What would propel someone to do something like that? Passion. Not just compassion for someone who loves you, but compassion for someone who hates you, wants to kill you. That's the heart of God. What does he say after hearing this news that King Herod wants to kill him? Oh, Jerusalem. I've longed to gather you. You who murder the prophets and stone those people that I sent to you to tell you about my love. Let me tell you what I want to do to you. I want to gather you under my arms as a hen gathers her chicks. So that you would know safety in me alone. But you were not willing. It's just fascinating, isn't it? They were not willing. There was the one person that could keep them safe forever. We see just how difficult it is to admit our need for Jesus, isn't it? Because just like in our Old Testament reading with Jeremiah, they like what he said. If you're listening to that, they didn't like what he said either, did they? They said, we're going to kill you. He was called to tell people, to repent, to turn to God. Because you're only hurting yourselves. Your refuge is God alone. He didn't come to say, hey, I'm going to tell you how sinful you are so I can just, you know, have fun and make myself feel better. Is that what Jeremiah said? Well, Jeremiah was called to do that by God himself. He sent you to tell these people to repent. Why? Because I want them to turn to me, their only source of life, security. I don't want them to have the disaster that's going to come on them for their sins. It's the heart of God. Jeremiah, just like Jesus, was willing to suffer immense things, even being thrown in a pit, in a cistern, being persecuted. Why? Compassion. He's known as the weeping prophet. Did you know that? He describes as looking upon Judah, upon all those people that are turning from God, and he says, my eyes are like fountains of tears as I weep for God's people who don't know him. That's what Jesus does. He looks at Jerusalem, at the people who don't know him, and he weeps. Because he knows the disaster that's going to come for their sins. He knows that them trying to think that they can protect themselves with their own righteousness, their own goodness, their own powerful friends, or powerful Romans, or whatever, it's not going to work. Because he's the one who judges sin. He's the one who knows the thoughts and hearts of everyone. So he weeps. It's even before that in the chapter we see, he describes hell as literally the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Eternally. So he weeps. Not just that people don't like him, it's that he knows what happens apart from a relationship with him. And that brings him deep compassion. Because it's not his desire that any should be punished for their sins eternally, but that they would be saved, that they would be safe under his wings. They would know loving relationship with him. So can you hear today? Jesus cries out to you. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long for you. Oh, Byron, oh, Casson, oh, Dodge Center, oh, Rochester, oh, Minnesota, how I long for you. See, my brothers and sisters, we know that we can't protect ourselves. We know that we have no hope in saving ourselves come Judgment Day. Yet we also know that because of holy baptism, God has called us and gathered us under his wings. And he was willing to do whatever it took on the cross to keep us safe from the devil and from his own judgment and wrath justly for our sins. So he calls us during especially this season of Lent to repent. Turn from those things that only lead to death. Because it's in me and my word alone that you find refuge. I'm the one who loves you. I'm the one who cares for you. More than you could ever know. Why I showed you. See, if someone really cares about something a lot, and is even willing to die for it, there's almost nothing that can stop them, right? It's the power of losing that fear of death. You're willing to go through immense difficulty because you have that deep of conviction. There is something that can stop you. It's called the threat of death of your loved ones. Yet here we find that's precisely why Jesus goes to the cross. That's not a reason for him to stop, but it's actually a reason for him to go. Because he knew he would lose you unless he went and had his death and his suffering and his innocent punishment. But you see, that's not all he saw, is it? When he talks about his mission and his purpose, he says, I'll complete it on the third day. I'll finish my course. See, one of the reasons he was willing to go is because he not only saw his death, but he saw his life raised again from the tomb on Easter morning. On the third day after he was crucified. You see, that spirit, that compassion, is what he gives to each one of us. What would cause us to be committed to going and following Jesus? When it becomes difficult, when enemies threaten us and even threaten our lives? Just this Thursday we had, Thursday or Friday, we had someone come and speak to us who was from Cambodia, who had survived the killing fields. You know this, in the 70s, it's a cruel dictator who took power and his army drove millions of people out of the country and forced them hard labor in the fields. Many people died. And yes, he survived. So the only thing that got him through was his relationship with God. Now that guy speaks on the Lutheran hour to 2 million people a day in Cambodia. Amidst people that threaten him, amidst people that persecute his message, who don't want to listen. Why? Because he has compassion. Compassion of Christ in his heart. Because he's experienced the compassion of Christ to him. While we might not have survived the killing field, we've survived God's killing field for our sins because of Jesus. And it's that same compassion that propels us forward, that brings us to repentance. When it's going to be painful, when it's going to be uncomfortable, when there's going to be people who might not like us or go against us, it's God's compassion that brings us commitment. Just remember, he ran his course for you. That's why he went through it all. He doesn't just long to gather you, he has gathered you under his wings. And you don't know what tomorrow holds, you don't know the next week holds. You do know that one day you will die. But you know that doesn't end that way. You know that he's going to raise you up one day to everlasting life. And it's his wings you find eternal refuge. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.